Hello, I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. The Australian government must invest in social housing if it wants to solve the housing crisis, an advocacy group says. More than 1,500 Australians have given testimony as part of a report from Everybody's Home into the impacts of the crisis, including poor living standards and domestic violence. A representative from the Murrumbeen Aboriginal Corporation said members of his community live in poverty in dilapidated and overcrowded dwellings. More than 50% of participants who rent have foregone medical appointments and more than 40% have skipped meals. To solve the crisis, the report recommends the government create 750,000 social homes within 2 decades, abolish investor tax concessions and deliver housing justice for Indigenous peoples. In Western Australia, a homeless man asked a judge to extend his jail time so he could have a roof over his head. 48-year-old David Ambrosius had been convicted of lighting a fire and going to sleep without looking after it. Mr. Ambrosius represented himself during his sentencing on Monday and told the judge he had been unable to get community housing while in custody and asked for an extra 2 years on his sentence. However, he was released immediately. Shelter WA says it's aware of the concerning trend of individuals turning to minor crimes in order of securing housing and food in prison. Data shows 2 in 5 adults entering prison were homeless in the 30 days before their incarceration, and prisoners are 100 times more likely to experience homelessness than the general population. Australia and Indonesia have finalised negotiations on a new defence agreement, which is expected to facilitate more ambitious joint military exercises. The Prime Minister and Defence Minister hosted the Indonesian President-elect in Canberra yesterday. Anthony Albanese says the new agreement will bolster the two nations' strong defence cooperation by deepening dialogue, strengthening interoperability and enhancing practical arrangements. Richard Miles says he'll be travelling to Jakarta in the coming days to sign the agreement.
The map really determines that Australia and Indonesia, as the closest of neighbours, have a shared destiny. But from this moment forth, that destiny is very much defined by deep strategic trust.
A Victorian man accused of murdering 3 people in South Australia is finally facing trial. Stephen Leslie Hainsworth has pleaded not guilty to the murders of 71-year-old Phyllis Harrison in 1998, 61-year-old Beverly Hanley in 2010, and 55-year-old Stephen Newton in 2011. Miss Harrison was his neighbour, Miss Hanley was his aunt, and Mr. Newton was a known associate. In the Adelaide Supreme Court yesterday, Mr. Hainsworth formally re-entered his not guilty pleas. Justice Adam Kimber is hearing the trial in the absence of a jury. To sport, and the AFLW's new boss, Emma Moore, is adamant that the competition can find the momentum needed to thrive and hit its own metrics for further season expansion. The 2024 season starts during next week's AFL pre-finals bye, kicking off with Sydney hosting Collingwood at North Sydney Oval on Friday night. The 18-team competition, which is now 11 games plus finals, is due to expand to 12 regular season rounds by 2025, and potentially 14 during the 5-year deal signed last September. But the latter expansion is dependent on achieving key audience metrics, including average attendance of 6,000 fans and average broadcast viewers of 100,000. There were more than 234,000 fans across 90 regular season AFLW games last season, while the regular season average viewership was more than 54,000, according to the AFL's annual report. A heatwave is expected to hit much of the country in the coming days, with temperatures to reach as much as 12 degrees higher than average by Sunday.
We have a low pressure system moving towards Western Australia, and that's going to help us sort of concentrate some of those temperatures and drag them into parts of the country that wouldn't potentially see them usually. So that's parts of central South Australia, even parts of Western Victoria and much of New South Wales as well. So it'll really spread out those warmer temps across much of the central and east of the country.
That was Senior Meteorologist Rowan Smith from the Bureau of Meteorology there. While it will cool down at the start of next week, temperatures will still be above the August average. To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au. And if you missed a bulletin, you can catch up on the Community Radio Plus app.
Screening for bowel cancer is simple, private, and free. Your free kit is available every 2 years from the age of 45 to 74. If found early, 90% of bowel cancers can be successfully treated. Doing your screening test every 2 years can help you to stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and your community. For more information, have a yarn with your health professional or visit indigenousbowelscreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
There's a simple private and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit indigenousbowelscreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbrabrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly, National Talk Black. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Councillor Raymond Kelly, who's the chairperson of the New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council. And great news here, we're talking about New South Wales' oldest Aboriginal land claim finally resolved. And on the line, we have Ray Kelly. Raymond, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. How are you, brother?
I'm well, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Raymond Kelly, who you are, where you from? Who's Raymond Kelly, brother?
I'm a Dangati Guri from mid-north coast New South Wales into the tablelands of the New England area, east coast of Australia, of course. Currently living in Newcastle, been there for, forever and a day.
Yes.
50-odd years now.
Yes.
No, probably less than 50-odd years, 45 years.
Yes.
So that's who I am and where I'm from. Married there with a number of children and grandchildren now. So.
Beautiful, brother, beautiful. And you're also the chairperson of the New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council, and we're talking about this fantastic news, oldest Aboriginal land claim finally resolved. So shed some light on this, please, my brother.
Well, the inland area of New South Wales, so, you know, the Great Dividing Range, which runs right up the east coast of Australia, I think you guys you understand what I mean by that.
Yes.
So
yes.
Over the sandstone corridor in New South Wales to out to Bree Warrina on the flat country there, the community there had lodged a claim back in 1984, and it was over a parcel of land that was very significant to that community at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got stalled, lots of the land claims
exactly.
In New South Wales. We have 38,000 outstanding land claims at the moment to deal with, Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
The government's still yet to deal with. But significantly, this is an important claim because it was the very first claim.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And here we are 40 years later. Now it's come to fruition.
Yes. Mm. Look, the opportunity for that community now to celebrate its, recognition is an important thing. And we at the NewsWalk, New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council, will work with them to realise some of their opportunities, do what we can to support them.
Lovely.
But, you know, it's an exciting thing. I'm not sure if you know of Bree Warrina, but Bree Warrina is a place that holds the fish traps.
Yes.
These are large fish traps that are situated in the Barwon River,
mm-hmm.
So this a significant significant cultural space as well, as indeed all places in Australia.
Exactly, exactly.
So, you know, perhaps this is an opportunity for the Brewarrina communities and surrounding communities to build a, you know, to build an economic opportunity going forward, as well as looking and taking care of cultural heritage issues.
Look, fantastic. And when we're talking about land claim, then we're talking about cultural being operated on the land, and also opportunity for business entities too, you would think.
Yes, well, what we're seeing right around the country, but certainly in New South Wales, we're seeing a, you know, there's a revitalisation of cultural output in terms of performance, song, language, dance. Really what it is just an assertion of our rights and roles as custodians, as caretakers of the land, to be involved in the protection of, you know, all of the good things about our country.
Yes.
And so what we're seeing is that, you know, people are developing tourist destination places. Certainly, obviously, with the fish traps, Brewarrina has got one in spades. We've got all the artesian bars, spas and water around in that space. So
yes.
Really, this is a really important place. And particularly because we, you know, we're trying to live through, I suppose, the, you know, the sporadic development or the wildfire of cotton in some of these communities. So how do communities find resilience and build opportunities? Well, here's an opportunity for us right now to realise some of that. So we're very excited for the community of Brewarrina.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, congratulations to the mob, and look, great talking with you, Raymond. Thank you very much. And look, we'll keep in touch, and we'll keep an eye on this. And look, success breeds success. It gives us another opportunity. We have another win as black people in this country, and we need to celebrate and work closely with the people who celebrate. It empowers all of us, doesn't it?
Thank you very much, Trevor, and you're absolutely correct. It's time for us to celebrate those wins, hard-fought wins. You know, and to acknowledge and recognise all of those great champions that have led the way for us, mate.
Councillor Raymond, thank you very much. All the best. We'll talk soon.
All right, Trevor. Bye-bye, bro.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn, deadly yarn. Councillor Raymond Kelly from New South Wales, Newcastle, also chairperson of New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council, and a beautiful yarn and talking about New South Wales' oldest Aboriginal land claim finally resolved, and that's the Brewarrina Aboriginal local Aboriginal Land Council. And thank you to the New South Wales Land Council, Aboriginal Land Council, has got it to fruition. So there it is. Have your saying yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly.
He looks asleep by me. garbage calls. Stories come through bamboo.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Everybody goes back to Mariana. Love is something that we used to share, but I know something we can never put to
Jenda Banapi Bamanda, Jenda Bakajanda Bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly.
Right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Jack Beetson, Executive Director, Literacy Life Foundation, and just talk about the work that he's doing. And he's up here in far north Queensland and catching up with the Kuku Yalanji mob here in Mossman. And we've got Jack on the line. Jack, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, really good. Thanks.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Okay. Well, my dad's Nyimba, so I identify as a Nyimba person from Bree Winery in the far northwest of New South Wales.
Yes.
And I know there's a few of that mob moved over here over the years. Also, my mum, she's a Wongaibong person from Ningen in New South Wales.
Beautiful, beautiful footprint. Thank you very much. Now, you're the Executive Director, Literacy Life Foundation. So tell us about the hat you wear there, and who's Literacy Life Foundation, brother?
Yeah, Literacy for Life Foundation was set up probably about 14 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And we started running adult literacy campaigns out in Will Kenya, out in the far west of New South Wales. I was living overseas before I came back, and came back and run it out there. And I should explain, too, that with Literacy for Life, and when we talk about adults, we're talking about people that are 15 years and older, because that's the international definition of an adult.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, so Aboriginal people, 15 years and older can come into the campaign.
Mm.
And we've got a few rules around that. We do it as part of school, not instead of school.
Sure,
Because the literacy classes are only go for 2 hours a day, 3 days a week.
And I would say, Jack, here we are in the 21st century, but you find a lot of our mob who are illiterate.
Yeah.
Which is sad, 21st century.
Yeah, I always say they got low English literacy because you know what our mob are like. You know, they may not be able to write their own languages, but they're certainly comfortable and very fluent in different languages and different ways of doing business.
Yes.
But they do have a problem with English literacy, and that can be anywhere from 60% to up to 90-95% in some communities. And the thing with that, Trev, is that you've got whole households where nobody can actually read the prescription on a medicine bottle.
Yeah, exactly, bro. Yes.
You know, if that was the only reason I was involved and stayed involved, that'd be enough.
Yeah, because, thank you. Yep.
Yep.
Yep, exactly. And Literacy for Life Foundation, you're based in Sydney. How often do you get out and about to remote communities? And how many are on board?
Oh, quite often.
Yeah.
Quite often. You know, but the idea of the campaign is that we train local people that can read and write to teach the people that can't. So we're not a fly-in, fly-out organisation.
Yeah.
We do have somebody there that's at the very least qualified in adult education. Some communities we have somebody that's an English second language expert or teacher. But they're only there to guide the local people and train the local people in the method.
Yes.
I've been up to Yarrabah several times.
Yes.
This meeting that I'm here for up in Mossman, this is the sort of the first meeting with the community, and I always take the first one to have a yarn with the community, because what's important, Trevor, is that we actually give ownership of the whole thing to the community.
Yeah.
That's the critical component, because if the community owns it, it'll work.
Well, exactly.
So it's not us doing anything for the community.
No, not from the outside coming in. It's from the inside coming out, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So how long have you been holding that range? How long have you been part of Literacy for Life?
Well, officially, we started in Will Kenya in 2011.
Yep.
So about 13 years now.
Yeah, fantastic. And First Nation people are at the table in regard to this foundation when you're talking with our mob, black on black?
Yes. There's only five members on the board, and two of those are the major corporation that's our major sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
One of those, the other board members, is Wendy Ludwig, and Wendy's she's in Cairns now. She's lived here over the years, and she's got ties to Cairns and Darwin, where her dad's from. But the other person that's on our board is Auntie Pat Anderson,
okay,
who headed up the up the voice or the referendum debate.
Mm. So it's good to have our black people dealing with our black people. And when we're talking literacy, well, it gives an open conversation and a safe space, so to speak, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. I think it's really about, you know, how long have we all been saying, you know, let us do it ourselves.
Exactly.
And this is the perfect example of that. Like, even to the point, Trevor, when we come to the community, and so I'm here today just to talk about what it is Literacy for Life does.
Okay.
And ask the community, do you think it's something you'd want to do or not, you know?
Mm.
Do you think it'd be good for your community? And then when we come into the community, we actually train local mob again that can read and write.
Yes.
To do a questionnaire or a survey in the houses.
Yes.
We don't do it. We train local mob.
Yeah, and beautiful.
We acknowledge, you know, I come from Bree Warrina. It's probably one of the most factionalised communities in Australia, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yep.
And so we train people from each different family group and faction group to go around and just have a yarn to people about, you know, there's this mob in town.
Yep.
They can do this here. Have you got people in your family that can't read and write?
Mm.
And we ask the same question. Do you think this is, and this is of every household that agrees to come into the survey, do you think this would be a good idea for Bree Warrina?
Yeah.
Do you think it'd be a good idea for Mossman? So today I'll come and do this part. And then the next step is, if there's mob here today, it's Googie Allenji mob.
Hmm.
We'd be keen to have a go at it.
Yep.
And we think it's needed in our community. Then what we would do is establish a community governance group.
Yep.
And they would govern the whole program, start
beautiful.
To finish.
And there's ownership right there, my brother.
Straight away.
Yeah, beautiful, yep. Beautiful. Jack, thank you for the yarn. Any relation to Big Arthur?
Yeah, we're cousins, yeah.
Cousins. Look, brother, you're scoring tries here with what you do with Literacy for Life Foundation, brother. It is fantastic. And a big shout-out to your family. And enjoy North Queensland up here. Enjoy Mossman, their deadly mob there, Cookie Allergy. And we will yarn soon, my brother. And look, you mentioned Brew Arena. Look, hats off to you. I just finished speaking to Councillor Raymond Kelly from Newcastle, who's the chairperson of New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council. Yeah, and you guys have oldest Aboriginal land claim finally resolved. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Too deadly, brother. So yarns in all angles here.
Thanks very much.
Jack, you take care. Travel safe, and we'll yarn soon, brother.
Good on you. Thanks, bud.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. Jack Beaton, Executive Director, Literacy for Life Foundation, and look, doing some work up here in North Queensland, up at Mossman, Cookie Yalingi Mob, and enjoying his time up here. And it is a fantastic foundation to what they're doing, helping our mob in regard to literacy. And here we are, 21st century, and it's sad that this is still going on. But, black on black, we're doing our bit up here. Fantastic. Look, have you say, yarn up strong. This is National Talk Black with Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, to Delhi. National Talk Black.
Never forget. and to show in this generation. Well, I'm telling you, yeah, oh, oh,
Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe, during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wuchopperen's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperen on 40801080 to learn more. Thinking about your body next to mine, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember. Hey, Mob, it's Jessica Malboy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
My dancing days are over, but that's all right. I hardly ever stay up late at night.
No need to boogie and no need to waltz. Seems my legs have got some serious faults.
So I don't twist.
I don't shout. Just getting there is what it's all about.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do. Frame blues, steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
It's got four wheels of fire and a cushy seat. Just enough room for me and my feet. It's painted red and its brakes are tight.
We can do what we at the traffic lights.
We don't linger.
We don't pause.
We give it a go.
Just because
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
No need to rush. I don't care if I'm late. No hurry up to the pearly gates.
And Mr. Zimmer, we're the best of friends. Bosom buddies when the evening ends.
So it's early to bed and early to rise. Just getting round is an old man's prize.
Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Stay up late at night.
So I don't twist, I don't shout.
Just Getting there is what it's all about.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do. Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
With a red walking frame?
Yes, my girl. Goes faster than a blue one.
Can't we go now? If we leave now, we'll get there by dawn.
Steady, steady, my girl. We'll get there.
Steady, steady. Slowly, slowly. Oh.
Which way you feel?
Oh, I sort of it now. Can't we, Mother, sit down? Oh.
Got the walking frame blue. Steady, steady is the best I can.
What get on your mouth, it's me, Bush Taka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob too deadly. Now, Brisbane Festivals, we've got a deadly showcase of entertainment. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Sister, Alethea Beetson. And talk about Meet Your Maker is the title of her daily program. And we've got Alethea online. Alethea, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Yes, so I'm Alethea Beetson, Cubby Cubby and Wiradjuri, and I live here on Turrbal Jagera and Jagera country in so-called Brisbane.
All right, fantastic. Thank you for coming to the program, and big shout-out to your mob. Now, Meet Your Maker,
you.
I'm reading here, it's not based on a true story, but it's based on a true feeling. I'm loving that title. So are we talking about a play or entertainment on stage, acting? Paint the picture, please, about Meet Your Maker.
Yeah, so Meet Your Maker is probably the most ambitious work that Black Social, which is the company I run, has tried to tell, and definitely the most ambitious story I've tried to tell. It's about an Indigenous pop star in the fictional world of Queen City, and she goes missing a split second before the biggest show of her career to meet her makers and have a conversation with them. And it's told through theatre, so I'm performing the work live on stage, but there are about 20 actors on screen, so there's quite a cinematic film component to the story. So it's really beautiful to be able to perform in a world that is still surrounded by so many mob, even though it is sort of a solo show. Yeah. I love that I've been able to still work with, you know, biggest mobs on this project.
Fantastic. So this kicks off at the Underground Theatre, Brisbane Powerhouse, 31st of August till 7th of September. Look, congratulations running with this. And give us a bit of background of Alethea Beetson, please, sister.
Yes, so I am a theatre maker and I do a little bit of film work as well, and I work in the music industry, specifically in First Nations music. So this story is, oh gosh, almost the coming of all of the worlds that I have. So there's going to be an original soundtrack that's going to be released as part of Meet Your Maker, and that was executive produced by Moss, and co-written by Sue Ray, Lockie Little, Reese Bowden, and the legend Mark Monk Ross. So a really deadly group of Black musicians have created the original soundtrack for the work, which will have the first part of that out in a couple of weeks, and then a full soundtrack coming out later. And it's just been really lovely. I feel like the work is just such a big love letter to the community that I've gotten to work with over the years. I founded Digi Youth Arts in 2013, so I've been kind of making work with our young ones for a really long time, and this is sort of, I suppose, me stepping away from doing that as I left EYA to focus on Black Social, and I also wanted Digi Youth Arts to continue being run by young people. I was getting a bit old, and so this is sort of now stepping into a different phase of my career, and I still very much made the work with young people in mind, and all of the messages and all of the themes in it are what I would have also loved seeing more and more of as I was growing up.
Look, we are true storytellers, and whatever vehicle we use, we tell the story. And what I'm picking up, Sister Letia, is a 12-pronged spear here. So we're talking acting, we're talking music, we're talking drama and storytelling, all the above. You've got to be pretty excited about this, Letia.
It is. I'm so excited, and the team that have worked on it have done such an incredible job, and there's just mob working across all facets of the work. We've got, you know, we had one of the DPs on the film project is a black woman. I've got a black woman editing, and like Netta Rimabo, who's done all the costumes. It's just been so incredible working with so many mob across. Yeah, you're right. The 12-pronged spear that is this work, where there's so many art outcomes happening at once.
No, well, congratulations. So deadly. And would you look at taking this on the road?
I would love to. Yeah, that's definitely in the plan, getting it up and then showcasing it to some folks when it's up in season, and then try and figure out a way to take it on the road. Like, it's a very big production in scale, but there's ways that I can kind of, you know, there's ways I'm thinking about putting the screen content onto like an old school TV so I could perform it in smaller venues, because I'm really conscious that I grew up in Toowoomba, and at the time there wasn't as much art there as there is now. There's been a lot done there, and my family are also in, like, from Surat, and I'm just conscious of, you know, it's important to make sure stories go everywhere, because stories have always belonged everywhere across these lands. So it's definitely in my mind's eye.
And we look at the deadly family name Beetson, so relation there to Arthur.
Yeah, my uncles and my pop's brother.
Okay, so, well, you're scoring tries here in this space, my dear, so too deadly.
Thank you.
Too deadly. And like I said, we are storytellers, and by any means necessary, we've got to tell the stories and use the vehicles that that are about. And here we are in the 21st century, and telling our stories strong using this vehicle. So congratulations, my sister.
Thank you.
So this is your first like delivery as a live theatre show as such?
Yes, that's the first time I'm acting on stage. So I did a work with Brisbane Festival a couple of years ago, set in the same universe, Queen City.
Yes.
And yeah, returning 2 years later and putting myself on stage. So first time doing that.
Too deadly.
I've had to learn how to sing and dance and play the piano. So it's pretty stressful, pretty silly, but I might be able to pull it off. We'll see.
Well, we black fellas say, nah, don't act. No, we need to act. And, you know, the old saying, you know, the world's the stage and we are all characters, aren't we, playing our role?
Absolutely.
Too deadly. I'm so proud of you, and thank you for sharing. So Meet Your Maker. So that's kicking off 31st of August, runs right through 7th of September. Underground Theatre, Brisbane Powerhouse. Price is $25 to $35, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct. And you can just head to either BrisFest or Brisbane Powerhouse website to get tickets.
Good. Fantastic. Well, break a leg, my sister. Keep smiling and be the best you can be. Alethea, nice talking with you. And please keep in touch, sister.
Thank you so much for having me and supporting Black Theatre.
All right. Too deadly. Take care.
Thank you.
Beautiful yarn there. That's Alethea Beetson, Meet Your Maker. Do check it out, Brisbane Festival, happening in Underground Theatre, Brisbane Powerhouse, from the 31st of August right through the 7th of September. So if you're ever in Brisbane and you're looking for entertainment or something to do, hey, kill two birds, one stone, go and check it out, 119 Leamington Street, New Farm, Queensland, and 4005. Maintenance performance at 2 p.m. and also an evening performance at 7:30 p.m. On those dates, so do check it out. Fantastic. Represent this your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong here. We are live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS National Radio Service. National Talk Black, too deadly.
Welcome to Coranda, where the beat drops and the treetops. We rock with the green frogs and the Ganyara, them big crops. This is hip hop from Coranda, where the barren meets the sea. Where we smell curry and campfire, get ready for a big mad feed. Culture's in my veins, my history's in my bloodline. This knowledge is in my brain, my story's in my songline. Keep our culture alive. Group we could do one time. Young and bright in the street.
country, y'all. Indigenous mobs, y'all be jitters, bungees, Maris. Home of the Buddhiji, hey, who you, hey, Bundara. A creator, Fullery, Dubu, Ganyo, Jama, Ganyara, y'all. Bringing this culture back on the track. We jabber got black, reggae, rap, KDA, hey, TG, can't get much better than that. Dropping like leaves. Better believe this grog and ganja come from trauma and grief. What's beneath?
Where do I leave?
We got too much pressure to measure. All the mob from four communities gotta come back together. Anxiety and depression inside of me got me stressing. Sometimes and second guessing and fighting my self-expression.
Now listen to the definition, what you're missing on this mission.
We can lessen stress if we learn one simple lesson. Harmony in our community, unity for you and me.
Education is truly key.
Scheming, demon, we beaming peace in the scenery. Opportunity, strong community, gotta go make that change. Cause you can heal yourself from that pain, that shame. You can break that chain, you gotta lift your game. You gotta grab that mic, sing your song, till everybody shout your name. Which way?
Karanda, Karanda, Karanda.
Hey,
we don't know if it's blenders.
We ain't no little pretenders. We be them proper contenders. Yep. You better check out our stances.
Hey, we got all of them answers. Yep.
We got them very ancestors.
Yo, what?
Karanda, Karanda, Karanda.
Such a beautiful child. Institutions. What could they do with this child? Where was the need solution? But there was nothing they could do, so they gave her to the streets, and she joined all the rest of the hungry and the tired feet. Slapped her around a little bit to teach her.
Grandes, they don't
and the
swim here.
Don't swim here
anymore. She met a boy who kind of knew some of the things that she was going through, but he was confused, so he ran away. She found him again, and here she is today.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry, call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
It's your boy MSP. Ecole. I asked that for worry. Worry belong island. Ecole, take me go biking, take me go biking for my island, oh my agarori for you. Take me go biking, take me go biking for my island, oh my agarori for you. There was a sunny set and the sapuri flying, but the uraba whitetails way to an island. But I always go remember where I come from.
Drop a talk.
Because I'm island man, I buy Ubadu man, and you cannot take that away from me.
And they say home is where your heart is. Oh yes, I believe it. And